Yeah.
Hey, and I had a good week this week. I was I see a lot in heaven. I'm a huge observer. I see a lot, and but I keep pressing in. I want more experience, to actually get it inside me. And I looked over and I saw this glowing retaining wall. So it was like a retaining wall. When I hike up to our family cabin, there's this rock wall that lines the path. And so I saw this wall, but it was emitting its own light. It was glowing. All the rocks were glowing. And in my heart, I was like, I want to go sit on that wall. And I did. I walked over and I physically felt me sitting on the wall. And I was patting it like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting on the wall. And then I was off somewhere else. But that was really my first real, like, physical encounter of in my heart desiring something and feeling it. And then as soon as you stand up, the physical feeling is gone because you've moved. And
Yeah.
so I'm really excited. Just having that experience easily adds to more experiences and more. Once you get one under your belt, then it seems to, well, my concept is it's going to get easier from there.
Definitely. So, what do you think the significance was of the wall, the radiating wall? What was it indicating, or what do you think there was something specific, the why you
Well,
saw
I think because it reminded me of the wall at the cabin, which is that's heaven on earth in my book.
Yeah.
And so going to the cabin is like going to heaven. So
All right.
sitting on the wall that looks like the wall to the cabin on the path
Okay.
was
Yeah.
pure joy. That's what it was.
All right. Okay. Well, what I'd encourage you to do is to build that wall, create that wall in the garden of your heart,
Okay.
that you carry it with you on the inside, and that you can engage in the testimony of it whenever you need to. Because I think a lot of people go into heaven, a lot of people engage God, but actually it's building up the place of intimacy on the inside, where we can therefore flow out of that place to the world around us, is key. And I mean, everything I encounter in heaven, I plant in my garden. I create it, I grow it, I plant the seeds of those testimonies, and I can go back and eat the fruit, and I can go back and engage it and give it away to others, so that engagement can flow through me to engage other people as well. It's almost like God's garden, Eden, was supposed to be reflected in Adam's garden, and then that should have been reflected in the rest of the world as the river of living water that flowed from Eden to Adam's garden, then split into four and flowed out to the water of the world. And so now our connection with heaven needs to sort of produce that reflection in the garden of our heart and then flow out to engage the world around us. So it's that pattern that we need to try and create. So it does
Got
help
it.
to build and cultivate and tend that garden, because then we can have everything that we've had in heaven. That is a source in us for others, not just an experience that we've had. However good the experience we might have, and however good that is in the realms of heaven and the authority and everything there, but actually there has to be a reflection of it. And my heart needs to be patterned. So I have mountains in my heart, waterfalls, rivers, secret places. This sounds like a secret place for you. And you can build that secret place, create it. Because you have the ability to create your own garden in the image that you want. And you've encountered that in heaven, so you can get it in your own heart, which is good.
And second thing that happened, I was in California where we had our last meeting with my family and who doesn't know God, and so I was talking with my parents. And before I talked with my parents the week before, I was praying, everybody, all the council would be there prior to my arrival, that they would just prepare the house and my family for the, we had to have a really big talk. It was, so before I talked to my family, boy, I just saw all the counsel around me. Man, it was so awesome, the wisdom and knowledge and counsel and peace, and man, I had the big guns. it was the big guns. They were there, and I just could fill the whole place with the cloud of witnesses for sure. That was pretty amazing, and what a difference. And it was the most powerful conversation I've had with my family, and they responded like just like they never heard something like this before, and they soaked it up. It was amazing, but it was the confidence I felt because I had the counsel. I knew the counsel was with me. Was that was pretty powerful and new and impactful.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, that's it. It's got to make an earthly difference. You know, it's got to actually be practically outworked. And I think a lot of people, you know, the experiences are experiences, but actually, well, what is that doing in your life and around your life? And they can't really answer. And I think it has to flow out, you know, and that's, again, a really good testimony of that. I think when it comes to your bench of three stuff, it's like a bench of three forms around a blueprint. And so and someone needs to get the blueprint. So if you get the blueprint, then you can begin to call people to that blueprint.
Okay.
Rather than trying to find someone who's got the, you know, because in a sense, most people who are in this stuff are forerunners. They get a blueprint, and then God will then draw people around the blueprint. Because if you're like, okay, well, we want to form a bench of three, it was like, well, what for? That would be the answer. What for? And without a blueprint, there is no what for. And so that blueprint may be for, you know, an area or a town or a city or region or whatever. But once you have a blueprint and you have an understanding, then you can call people to that blueprint. You can issue a sound which draws people to that blueprint. And then you'll find that, you know, those people will begin to come out. And engage, you know, and sometimes they might not know, but they're resonating with something that's being released, you know, and it's really important for that, you know, because that really is what will then establish the government to see that outworked, you know, and you can administer that blueprint, you know, while you're waiting for those people to come. You know, and ideally, you know, it would be great, everyone has three and they all work together. But we have seven mountains here, and only two of them have got three on it. You know, well, three of them now, but the rest of them have got one or two on them. Because okay. It's a process, you know. They all, to start with, we needed to identify one person who accepted the responsibility for the mountain. Then they then shared that, and they begin to then call others in to that, and now we're getting more and more, and the more we see it, the more government there is released, and authority that we're seeing made a big change in that. But it's key, you know, in what's coming, if there is no heavenly reflection of that government on earth, then God is not going to occupy it. You know, he's going to leave a whole load of things who are still operating in that Moses generation mentality. Because he's looking for those who have crossed into a new order of government, you know, which is heavenly. You know, the dividing line are those who are engaged in heaven and administering there, you know, because that is what then will release that on earth. And, you know, it's got to be an inverted mountain, you know, on earth. It must be a reflection of, not something that's copying it, and therefore, which is what went on in the wilderness. You know, it's like Moses did everything in the wilderness. Now the whole Joshua thing is about releasing people into outworking their destiny, not doing it for them, as the sort of fivefold ministry ended up doing for a lot of cases, you know, and establishing a ministry or a business or whatever that actually has someone on the top of it therefore no one else can go any further. Whereas if you have apostolic prophetic foundations on earth of the kingly priestly function in heaven, then it goes that way, and there is more and more people who can get released into it because it's the foundation, not the ceiling.
Love it, yeah.
You know, which is sort of, and that is going to be what God looks at to say, that looks like me. It may not be fully exactly like it will be eventually, but he's looking for the heart that reflects that so that he can come and occupy that and begin to empower it and to really, so that we can see these embassies of heaven established on earth, or apostolic resource centers, or, you know, cities of refuge, different names people call them, but that's what will be established when God comes and occupies and fulfills those things. So, you know, it's really, really important, and I think we're at a pretty crucial point where, you know, that the sound will go out, and, you know, it's whether people will respond to it or not, you know, and whether ministers will respond to it or not, or whether they've invested too much into the old to be willing to change, you know, and that's will be a challenge, particularly those who've got, you know, multi-million pound businesses really who've set up around these ministries. You know, all of a sudden God says, I don't want you to do it that way anymore. There's a huge consequence for that. You know, but, you know, there was a whole generation who decided that they would rather stay in the wilderness with the wilderness resources and miracles and signs and wonders, yeah, awesome things, but actually not their inheritance, not what actually they should have been encountering, you know, and that whole generation were left, which is sad. And I think we're at a point next year, at the end of a generation and beginning of another. So it's a challenge, I think, right now.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I see Henry's here.
That's Rick, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah,
I'm
sorry. Yeah, it's Rick, yeah. Rick.
Yeah. Now I tilt my glasses this way, I can see better.
Yeah. So, I don't know where the others are today. It's, Mike and Henry and others, but okay, never mind. So is there anything else you want to talk about? Questions?
Well, this, gosh, I really loved that you were expressing that, well, it's probably been a couple months now, that you've had a change, a new level of love with God, and we're doing that exercise. And so I wanted to know, I want hot off the press, what's going on with you?
Okay. Well, from a spiritual engagement perspective, we here have been engaging with our four angels and the four faces of God, and that has created some engagements with an understanding of how portals open and how you access some of those things, which has been really interesting. And I've stepped into some of those places where literally what's happening is we have one of the four faces of God and one of our four angels. So the four faces of God being the heavenly expression of where we're engaging, and then the four angels have been sent into this dimension, and they are forming arcs. So the lion and, let's say, we have the lion and winds of change form an arc. And the lion on the other side with transformation forms an arc. And then the ox and transformation form an arc. And the ox and refining fire form an arc. So we have these interactions, and we've got like the man and winds of change, and we've got the man and sand of many waters, and the eagle of sand of many waters. So that they are usually set out as flags, because we've got flags that have been made specifically to represent those with different colors and different symbols on them. So that's been very interesting, and I've stepped into some of that, and that's taken me to some interesting places that I've not been before. I mean, just dimensions that I'd never experienced before. So that's been quite challenging. In now, I need to pursue that. You know, I personally, this time of the year, I get downloads of loads of things. You know, give myself time to just open my heart for what's coming next year and the prophetic perspective, where we are and where we're going, and so I've had, you know, quite a few downloads so far, and you know, I'll get quite a lot more before the end of the year, and that really sort of sets the tone for things that I know that we'll be engaging in. And we've been engaging with our own book, our scroll, and interestingly, the last time we went together, we went to our church mountain, and 12 of us looked to engage with the church angel, and he brought the book and opened the book, and I think four or five of us actually saw one of the pages of the book with this, it's difficult to describe, but it's a sort of geometric shape, but a dimensional geometric shape that we all drew from our different perspectives. It's like my drawing was not exactly brilliant, but I did my best to try and say what I was saying. And so that was interesting, because all of a sudden it was like, okay. And then Henry, the last time we met, shared that he'd seen this picture, and where these overlapping dimensions, and that really struck a chord with me, because it was like, hey, we're seeing this. And then he sent me a diagram of what he drew, and overlapping kingdoms and spheres. And I thought, wow, God is showing something here. And so we've pursued that and engaged with Metatron, who's the keykeeper and the timekeeper of heaven. And that has opened up really interesting dynamics around these, something called Metatron's Cube, and where different geometric patterns of government overlap with spheres of government. I mean, it's really interesting stuff. And we've stepped into that, so we've had people engaging with the Sapphire Cube, and I've been into that Sapphire Cube, which comes from the, you know, it's what Moses would have given had they not messed up with the golden calf and it got smashed up. It's a pattern of the multi-dimensional perspective of government, and so I'm really interesting. I mean, I've been in there, and there's all these facets of light and shade and color, and so the manifold wisdom and manifold grace of God. So, you know, I've had quite a few experiences around that, and other people here have as well. So I know God's doing that because it's significant. And sometimes you look at it and think, what on earth is all this about? You know, and I mean, I've got some pictures of it. I'll show you them in a minute. But, you know, it's just things that people are experiencing, which are all sort of knowing that there's more to come. And I know that there is engaged with government and the 12 chancellors' houses, because that's really what I've been mostly, I guess, looking to engage with myself, is this sort of chancellor's role and what that really means. And, you know, I've been on the Firestones, and, you know, wisdom has given me a seal, and I'm like, okay, what is this about, you know? And I think some of the engagement with Benches of Three and governmental spheres along parallels around the world and the affairs of nations and things is what it's about. And so I now know the pattern of the 12 houses, and I know the order of them, and I now know that how they function together, and I've been into quite a number of them, but I've got to figure out all the protocols for it all, which is quite a task, really. And then I know that will link to the 12 laws that come out of Zion, which are some of the protocols of heavenly government. So I'm it's quite an in-depth thing. you know, it's quite a deep thing, and I find it quite hard to describe, to actually describe some of what I'm encountering and what I'm experiencing. But you know, those things are there. I mean, I'll show you this sort of sphere thing. But you know, that's sort of like this sapphire cube that, you know, I've been in, a number of people have been in here. We've had some of the ancient ones show up around that, which have been you know, really interesting. You know, there's other sort of shapes or pictures that seem to come out of this. Like Metatron's cube is like this dimensional shapes, you know, and those are the different shapes within the cube, which are all shapes that we've had revelation of over the last 5 or 6 years, in terms of pyramid shapes, in terms of this sort of triangular government of coming together in this sort of Star of David type shape, and a cube. I'm just saying, and normally if I just saw something like that, I would have thought, oh well, I'm just seeing, you know, just seeing some of interesting things. But actually it's more than that, because 5 or 6 of us saw it, and then quite a number of people have also have shared with me that they've been picking up these sort of dimensional shapes, and how these things begin to see heaven's government and the 12 houses and all these things. So that's really where, you know, I am in some things at the moment. And personally, I'm, you know, going through some you know, transformation and in some areas. So tonight I'm meeting up with some people to sort of go into some ministry stuff, and we're doing quite a number of court cases at the moment over some issues. So yeah, I mean, it's been good. You know,
those shapes, when you see them, is it, you know, I get a picture of it, but is there a sound or color vibration that you feel coming off of them?
All of that. Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Well, I mean, it's difficult to describe, but it's one of those things that is almost like the mysteries of God being unveiled to reveal deeper governmental spheres of how we're going to rule. And I know it looks weird, but then God does everything in mathematics. Yeah. All those shapes are based on phi, which is the golden mean. And that's where you get fractals, and where you get different sort of things of how heaven is outworked on earth. And so I can see, you know, over a number of years, like if you overlap the triangles, if you think of heaven being like a mountain, and the mountain can be like a triangle, and then earth being a triangle, and then you overlap the two, you get that Star of David. You know, and so I know this is significant, because I know God is wanting us to take charge of the affairs of the nations. I know that God is preparing people to be operating on the Galactic Council in this generation. I know that the chancellors are preparing for us to be chancellors. I mean, it's like we need to take our heavenly government as well as the earthly. I think in the process, if you think of Zechariah 3, 6 and 7, you have walk in his ways. Well, we've been faithful walking in his ways on earth for a long time, trying to be good stewards of everything that he's calling us to, but something missing. You know, if we're honest, if I'm honest, I knew something was missing. No matter how good it wasn't it. And that really led me to pursue God, and therefore becoming a friend of God. So then as a friend of God, he starts to reveal his purposes to his friends. You know, the stewards just get orders, but Jesus said, well, I'm not going to call you stewards or servants any longer. I'm going to call you friends. And friends get revelation of his heart. And then we, as friends, we get access to begin to outwork some of those things that he reveals in the realms of heaven. Because you can't have deep intimacy and friendship without engaging heaven, because that's where he is. Yes, he's in us, but he's also in the realms of heaven. And so that's really been key, because then you get to have charge of the house and charge of the courts. So there are 12 houses of the chancellors, and there are different courts that we're supposed to have charge over, in other words, to govern and to rule. So a lot of what we're learning right now is some of the being faithful in the little and operating in lordship, and then engaging in kingship where we start to legislate. So I think a lot of these things, God is releasing protocols for legislation that are tied to these colors and almost sort of like geometric, some call it sacred geometry of how these things. Now, they are dimensional. That's the interesting thing. It's not like they're just a three-dimensional, two-dimensional. They're multi-dimensional things. So these patterns indicate dimensional government, you know, which is why I think these mysteries are getting unveiled, so that ultimately we can stand within the assembly of God as his sons, you know, who are fully manifested on the earth to bring the earth back into its alignment. So there are frequencies which are attached to these things, and we're supposed to radiate those frequencies, because heaven and earth respond to those frequencies. You know, the whole of creation responds to the frequencies when we're operating in the harmony or the symphony of heaven, let's say, when we're all working together, being our own place, being in our own place of government, then everything starts to form these harmonics, where harmony is not just one sound, it's many sounds coming together to form a harmony. Like a chord is made up of four or more notes, three, four, five notes that form a sound which is totally different from each individual note. So God is pulling together these things so that those sounds can be released to bring alignment back into heaven and earth, I think. So I don't understand it all. I'm far from it. I mean, I'm just, you know, sort of just pursuing.
Oh, come on, Mike. Tell us.
Well, I don't. You know, I don't understand it all yet, because I'm just now beginning to encounter it. But I've been in you know, the cube, you know, in that sapphire cube, you know, and there's the sapphire pavement, and there's just more, you know. But you have to know the protocol and what they're for, otherwise it just becomes another experience. So for me, it's like I know they'll always tie to something I've already experienced. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, you know, I had revelation of something about the importance of the manifold wisdom of God and the manifold grace of God, sort of the multifaceted, multicolored, multidimensional wisdom and grace of God. Now, I could have had no understanding then of what I'm seeing now, but I knew that when I saw this, that it resonated with that, because I store all that stuff and I pursue those things that my spirit draws me towards and where my destiny and my journey takes me. And, you know, it takes time. You know, I'm really busy doing all the other stuff and, you know, looking to help equip people to be part of this Joshua generation. So I have to sort of pace myself, if you like, in, you know, how much time I can spend in these different places and what I'm doing there. But, you know, it's... You know, I'm not on my own in it. There's many other people now who are also engaging. And, you know, we have people here who are engaging, which is great. So we can share some stuff and, you know, look to pursue what these things mean. But, yeah, it's an exciting time, I think, and a challenging time. I mean, there's always both, isn't there, really? You know, and, you know, personally, it's a challenging time in, you know, dealing with some emotional things and looking to clear away some issues in my emotional gateways and stuff, simply because I realized that there were some things which were blockages, you know. So I'm like, I'm always willing to go there and try and deal with that stuff as well. So I'm in the process of looking to unblock some things at the minute. But on the other side, God is just taking me deeper into things that I've never seen before, you know, places I've never been before. and I engaged the eagle and the sound of many waters, and as soon as I stepped into where they intersect, I just went, you know, and I went deeper and deeper and deeper into a place I've been before, but it just took me beyond where I'd been before. And as a result of that, that took me higher and higher into this dimension that I'd never been before. And I find it almost next to impossible to describe it, because it was just like something coming together and being one, but being separate and being one, and just, you know, I think it was a dimension of perfection. That's what, and it, you know, and it.
Well,
was,
the thing that comes to mind when you say that is the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God being one yet separate in a way. That's kind of what you're describing, is this experience of what that feels like.
Yeah, you know, and it is hard, you know, and I know, well, I don't get taken to a place for no reason, so I know that there was a purpose in that, that my spirit absorbed, even if my mind didn't. And I have a lot of spiritual deposit, which is yet to have a cognitive outworking, but my spirit releases it at the right time and the right point. And then I find I'm drawn to stuff that then gets unveiled. And once I have a cognitive understanding, then I can explain it to others and share it with others, you know, and help others to engage in it as well, which is always my end goal in a lot of these things, is to be able to help other people engage in these things. But it sounds pretty weird. I mean, it's like these, you know, shapes and stuff. It's just like people say, well, what on earth's all that about? And I go, say, well, my spirit knows, but I can't really tell you exactly, which doesn't really help much. But you did ask me where I am, so I have liberty to share some of the things I have. But I really know that next year, you know, I know that August next year is the 40th anniversary of a really significant event in 1975, in which the end of that generation is going to come. And I know that is going to be really, really significant for this new order of what God is wanting to establish. And I know that judgment is coming to the household of God. Not punishment. There's no punishment, just God making a clear choice. Are you going to choose to step into the new order? Or are you going to stay in the old? You know, and that's a choice which I believe is being issued now and is going to be issued significantly next year, and there are going to be significant challenges, and then God is going to leave the old. You know, he is, you know, just like he left the temple desolate, empty, to be filled with who knows what, not anything good, he's going to leave the old. You know, it's going to be Ichabod. The glory has departed. Now, the sad thing is, many people won't really realize the glory has departed. Samson didn't realize that the anointing had left him until he went to fight the Philistines, you know, and it may well be that way, which is, you know, and I am wanting as many people as possible to hear that sound, to hear that call, to respond to it, to embrace crossing over into this engaging heaven and a supernatural dimension of government in heaven so it can be outworked on earth. You know, but I know next year is significant. You know, it's significant for us. We've been on a 3-year journey ourselves that God has been, you know, has outworked, and that ends next year as well. And so we know that we're going to enter into something new. You know, there are new seasons coming. But, you know, there will be warfare. You know, the old always opposes the new. And we must make sure our hearts are right in that we do not, it's not an elitist sense, or we've got it, you haven't. We have to just walk it out, you know, and, you know, if people ask, then we tell them what we're walking out, and we're not, it's not our responsibility to point out those that are old. You know, we have to just embrace the new and walk it out, and it's God's responsibility what he does through those who choose not to, you know. But what I do know is it isn't some form of judgment that people associate with punishment. It's actually more a decision. You know, when a judgment's made, a decision is made, and then justice can be at work. You know, and there are decisions that God is making. I mean, you see it all the way through. You know, they had a decision to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot's wife looked back, and was all the life went out of her, and she ended up a pillar of salt. You know, Joshua gave them a choice. Choose you this day who you will serve. And I feel that is going to echo and vibrate in this coming year. There's going to be, you know, a lot of choose you who you will serve. You know, because the pillar of cloud is moving and we need to go with it, you know. But, you know, I know I have a responsibility in that. I know I've been given a sword, and, you know, again, that sword is not to destroy people, it's to draw a line, and it's to actually show, hey, there is a choice to be made. You can cross this line and step into the new, embrace this new order, and embrace your destiny, and embrace, you know, your heavenly place, and, you know, your position in the government of God, and all those things. You know, so it's quite a, you know, I tend this time of year, I do tend to start really focusing on that, I suppose. You know, so by the time come the end of the year, I tend to have pulled a lot of things together in terms of the things that God's shared and things God's spoken to me about, and some of the declarations He's made, and then, you know, sort of let them out. So I'll usually publish some things and share some of the things that God said that He lets me do.
Well, I was wondering if you, and I have a desire in my heart for just a meditation exercise. Yep. Oh my gosh, it's like having my morning coffee, which I don't drink. So I don't have anything specific, but I wanted to ask you if you had something on your heart that to take us through. I would love that.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think in these days, one of the key engagements is with wisdom, because wisdom and the wisdom's heights, there are so many access points there. There are so many points where intersections take place and dimensions cross and pathways meet, and there's access to doors, and you can access into Mount Zion and different places through there. And she is her desire and calling to the sons of men is to call people into their position of authority, you know, whether kings, princes, or nobles, to help bring justice and righteousness out. So that will be a good place to go to, perhaps. Maybe we'll engage there. It'll be a good place.
Thanks.
Okay, let's do it. So, okay, I think I encourage you just to relax and just close your eyes, and we just thank you, Father, that we stand under an open heaven. We thank you, Lord, for the open heaven standing there for us to engage, and we just take a step by faith to engage our spirits through that doorway. Again, we meet you, Jesus, there. We just breathe the atmosphere of heaven. We ask you just take us by the hand, and as Satan led you to the heights to see the kingdoms, that you would take us by the hand and lead us through the veils and the dimensions, that we can engage with wisdom on her heights. Just encourage you as you engage that place. With wisdom's pillars, where the pathways meet. Just open your spirit, open your heart to engage with wisdom. She calls to you as Jesus just opens that realm for us to engage. You may look into wisdom's eyes and see into the depths of your destiny, of who you are and your identity and your authority. Just ask wisdom that you would unveil and reveal to each person now and who are watching in the future, something deeper of who they are. In governmental authority, in their destiny. Just encourage you to embrace wisdom and let her heart touch your heart. Here on Wisdom's Heights, the ancient pathways meet, the dimensions intersect. There are doorways of engagement. Just let your spirit draw you to engage. Just let that deep sapphire blue revelation just take you deeper and deeper. Eternity just encompasses you, draws you in. Mysteries of God being revealed to your spirit. Thank you. You may feel drawn to an ancient path, to an intersect of dimensions, or wisdom may want to just take you to one of the doors that are there. She opens the door for you to step through. You may feel called out to the stars, the doorway to the stars. You may feel called to engage in that which is under the earth, in Satan's trophy room. You may access into the different realms and rooms of the Mountain of God. Just let your spirit lead and be led by wisdom. It will take you deeper and deeper into your destiny. You can engage back into eternity, back into the heart of God, where you were created, and where is home to you. Prints or mandates, wisdom can take you. To engage the courts. Go into the record room and see your scrolls. Just let your spirit just absorb the fragrance and the frequency. Let the spirit just draw in the revelation of this encounter, of your experience. Would lead you deeper and deeper into your destiny, calling to you to follow the pathway of heavenly government, and your place in legislation to legislate heaven to the earth. See, wisdom has a crown with 12 stones, but she would wish to give to you. And the color of those 12 stones, when you sit enthroned on your mountain, will release a river of that color to flow from your innermost being. To just stay there, or if you want to just prepare your heart to step back, just allow your spirit to carry with it that which you've received, that revelation, that calling deeper. If you wish, just step back. If you wish, just stay there. Thank you.
That was out of this world.
It was out of this world.
What, when I encountered wisdom, she touched my belly, and as I exhaled out, that I saw all those geometric patterns that you were showing me, the different ones, like each molecule of breath went out, and is for terraforming the landscape that is before me, like every breath that I have, which to me is God in me coming out. And I saw every one of those geometrics like they were my oxygen going out in crazy. Well, and there was a bunch of other stuff going on, but that was makes a lot of sense that your words going out are terraforming, and it may look like geometric shapes and
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's good. Very good. Anyway. Okay.
Right. Why? Good. Thank you so much, and can't wait to see you 2 weeks.